Hello, my name is B. Martin, and I am looking forward to sharing with you some insights that I believe that God has given me over the years when it comes to spiritual growth, and in particularly with barriers that we kind of build up that will hinder us from growing spiritually. When I think about the concept of spiritual growth, I really want to kind of define that as being a time in which we are growing in our relationship with God, where we know Him more, we know how He thinks and how He feels and what He desires. And we're also sharing our thoughts and feelings and desires with God, and we are participating in an intimate relationship with God on a moment-by-moment basis, and where we're becoming to know each other more and more. But also, I see spiritual growth as being part of the work in which God can do in us to make us more like Him, so that our thoughts and our motives and our words and our actions are becoming more and more like God, becoming more and more what He desires us to be. And when we are in the right frame of mind in which we are growing spiritually, both those things will occur. We will be knowing God more, growing more in the relationship with Him, and us sharing with Him our lives, Him sharing with Him, with us Himself, and in the process of that, Him also maturing us, our thoughts and our hearts, so that we are becoming more and more like Him. But over the years, I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in which I know I place these barriers these walls in which kind of hinder me from growing spiritually. And when I'm in the mode of putting these barriers up, I can tell the weakness in my faith, the weakness in my motives and thoughts being more of what God wants me to be. I can sense the fact that I don't feel connected with God spiritually. When I place these barriers up, and over the years, God has really challenged me to identify these barriers so that I can have some understanding of how to overcome them, how to knock them down, so that they're not hindering me in growing more and more spiritually. So over the years, as He has kind of challenged me with these thoughts, these barriers, I've kind of listed them down over the years so that I can kind of examine my life. When I'm in the mode of not believing that I am growing spiritually, I kind of run through some of these things in my life, some of these barriers, kind of say which one of these right now are hindering me from growing spiritually, or maybe there's more than one that's stopping me from growing deeper in my relationship with God. So over the years, it's been kind of a checklist for me, and I hope somehow, as we walk through some of these barriers, that maybe God can point out some of the things that maybe you pattern in your life that hinder you from growing spiritually. Maybe right now, or maybe in the future, maybe hopefully these things will begin to come to your mind, and the Holy Spirit will reveal those times when we know that we're not growing and being who God wants us to be. So I'm going to identify six of them for you here. And I know this list isn't a complete list, but they are at least the six that seem to be really common in my life that I can point toward to see if I really am growing spiritually. And when I'm not, one of these six, sometimes more than one of these six, seem to be hindering me, seem to be standing in the way of me growing deeper in my relationship with God. So here are the six that I have, and hopefully we can kind of walk through them together and examine them and see how God may be trying to point them out to us and challenge us to see if they're stopping us from growing spiritually. So the first one, first barrier or wall that I often put up in my relationship with God and growing spiritually is procrastination. And You know, living a life of procrastination is something that I'm challenged with. And when I think about the word procrastination, you're really, really saying that times when I am putting off what I know I need to be doing in order to do things that are really less important. And I don't know if you ever feel that way in life. I know there are times I am doing that spiritually, times when I know I should be reading my Bible and praying and just meditating on God and seeking His face and waiting on Him and listening to Him. Times when I just throughout the day should be allowing His Spirit to lead and guide me to do things that I know I should be doing to honor Him and to bless others so that change can be happening in my life. And there's so many times that I know what I should be doing, but I put it off. I really don't act upon what I know the Spirit of God is really leading me to do, to be growing spiritually. Matter of fact, Solomon talks about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse 4. He says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it." And I know there are times that I do delay, and as I think about the vows I've made to God, vows that all of us who are believers in God have made a vow to know Him more, to sacrifice ourselves, to allow Him to change us and make us to be more and more like Jesus, to use us for His glory. Those vows that we make, I think often we do as Solomon warns us not to, and we delay. We don't do them. We put them off. And in doing so, it affects us. It affects us spiritually. It affects our relationship with God. It affects how we're growing in Christ likeness, because we're not putting into practice the things that God has challenged us to, the things that we have vowed to do. And when we are procrastinating and putting things off, it is often a barrier from us growing spiritually. I know in my life it is. And I begin to see this cycle at times in which I kind of just make this vow to God that, God, I'm gonna grow my relationship with You. I'm going to stay focused and really spend time in Your Word and spend time in prayer and meditation and just following Your ways, and I'll put it off, and I'll find so many other things to do than the things that I know that are going to help me to grow spiritually. And it's in those times that I begin to feel distant from God, and I begin to sense that kind of the old me begins to creep back up in my thoughts and in my motives and in my speech and actions. I begin to not reflect God's life in me and through me. And when I begin to see that, I can often kind of point to the fact that, so what am I doing? What's hindering me right now? And there's often times that this is the reason why. It's because I've been procrastinating, putting off the things that I know that I should be doing to grow spiritually. Really to involve myself in things that really are very, very much less important. So this is one of the barriers for me, and maybe it's a barrier for you as well. And I hope that as you examine your life, if this is one of those things that's really stopping you right now, that you will begin to pray about that and ask God what you need to be doing in order to not be procrastinating. And in procrastinating, building this wall between us growing spiritually so we can knock that wall down and begin to do the things that we know we should be doing that's going to help us to grow in our relationship with God. Well, the second thing that that's kind of a barrier for me as well in growing spiritually is just living a life of complacency, a life that's kind of in this self-satisfaction kind of in a negative way, where I don't really care about often the danger or the trouble that may be coming into my life or even in the lives of others, because I'm at this point of being kind of self-satisfied. And, you know, God really challenges us through Scripture, even with the concept of complacency. And the book of Amos, one of the prophets, in chapter 6, God says, "Woe to you who are complacent." God speaks this warning, this challenge to those who begin to feel kind of like, you know, everything's going good. You know, I've got plenty of money, plenty of food. I got clothes to wear and a place to live and furniture in the house and cars to drive and jobs to go to. And in that sense, kind of feeling kind of self-satisfied in that. And begin to allow these things to be the things we put our hope in. And because we feel this self-satisfaction, we don't really have a desire to grow spiritually, because we feel like, hey, everything's going good. You know, I got all that I need physically, relationally, emotionally. I feel like, you know, things are going well. There's no hardship happening. Everything seems to be running fairly smoothly. And so in those times, we can often, you know, kind of get distracted and begin to not really focus on our relationship with God, because we feel that, well, there's not really a huge need for Him. I mean, because everything's kind of going the way that I wanted to go, I'm feeling good, and everything around me seems to be going fairly well. So we feel this sense of complacency in relationship with God, and we don't grow. And I think, boy, again, another challenging way in which we can put barriers between us and God. And we begin to kind of forget God. And we stop praying, and we stop spending time in His Word. We don't feel like this big hunger or need to be with Him. No big hunger or need to make changes in our lives, to grow more and more into being who He wants us to be, because we think, hey, you know, everything's going good, and no need to really call out to God. No need to really spend time in the Word. No need to really change things that are going on in me, because you know, everything's going fairly well. And you know, it's in those moments that God really challenges us to not be complacent, because when we are complacent, we tend to forget about God, and we tend to kind of think that somehow we're the ones who have created our wealth. We're the one who have created our self-satisfaction, our peace, our contentment. And you know, it's really in those moments that just like in the book of Amos, that God challenges those people who are complacent, and He kind of told them that because of their complacency, because of their passion, their hunger for God and growing and being who God wanted them to be, that He was going to discipline them, that he was going to end some of the things that they were enjoying, some of the things that were bringing them this satisfaction, this peace that really wasn't Him. And the things that they were putting their hope in, he challenged them and said, "I'm going to put it to the end. I'm going to stop those things." Not because He was wanting to be mean, but because to kind of get their attention and help them to realize that they were being complacent, and that they were putting their value in themselves, in their value in what they had and what they had done and what security that they possessed because of what they were doing, and often in what they were doing was not is focused on God. So I think about times in my life when I get complacent, and I begin to just kind of walk through life, you know, not really talking to God, not really focusing on Him, not really asking Him to make changes in my life. Because I've kind of at this spot of thinking, well, I think everything's going fine, and I don't feel like I really need God right now, because, you know, everything seems to be going good. But it's in those moments, boy, we find ourselves drifting further and further away from God, and begin to depend more and more on ourselves and the things around us. And when that happens, that's that's being put in a position where I believe that God has to do something to remind us, often challenge us to realize that being complacent is not a spot in which we need to be when it comes to growing in a relationship with God. So that's the second one. And the third thing that I wanted to share with you that I'm often challenged by as being a barrier for me spiritually is just what I call kind of meaningless living. You're kind of living life pursuing things that really have no spiritual importance. being passionately pursuing those things, you know, and times in which we're kind of just busying ourselves, or I busy myself, get so involved in activities that aren't really helping me to grow spiritually. And I think often these activities or this busyness, this pursuit of things, often within themselves, they're not wrong. They're not sinful things. But it's the way in which we pursue them and how we pursue them, we kind of block everything else out because of our hunger, our passion for these things more than God. So we will pursue things like hobbies. Again, within themselves, hobbies aren't wrong to have, but it's amazing how many times for me, a hobby that I may have will often begin to take me away from doing the things that really I should be doing spiritually. But I begin to be so engrossed in my hobby that I don't spend time with God. And you know, the Solomon kind of shares some of the same ideas in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2. And reading kind of through verses 4 through 11, he talks about hobbies and how that was meaningless. He talks about possessions and how he had so many things, you know, built houses and built things to that he can own to make himself look good in possessions. And he talked about that was really meaningless, and that wealth, and then he stored up for himself silver and gold and all the treasures that he wanted. He talked about how even popularity and fame and kind of worldly importance was one of the things that he said he pursued, and he realized that too was meaningless. And even things like entertainment, he talked about in that section. He also talked about relationships, having intimate relationships with people of the opposite sex. You know, he said he had a harem, all the women that he wanted, beautiful women, and he said even in that, in pursuing that, really it was meaningless. He talked about pleasure and how he denied himself no pleasure at all. And I think of how many times we pursue pleasure and thinking that somehow it's going to bring some great meaningful thing to our lives, but he said even pleasure he did that and it didn't. It was really meaningless. And talked about work and his labor and how he toiled and how hard he worked. And toward the end of that section, he just said, you know, when he surveyed all that his hands had done and what he had toiled for, all he toiled to achieve, that everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And I think you know, Solomon is kind of trying to say, hey, learn from me. Don't live a meaningless life. Don't find yourself, you know, pursuing things that really won't help you to grow spiritually. Don't find your life being so involved in activities that really won't help you to grow closer in your relationship with God and closer into being more of who God wants you to be. And boy, I tell you, when we are involved in this meaningless living, it's amazing how we can justify so many things in our lives to say somehow that they're important when we know that they're not, and when we know that they're pulling us away from growing spiritually. And I tell you, I know in my own life, I know how I do that. And I find myself being consumed with pursuing things or consumed with activities that, again, may be good within themselves. They may not necessarily be sinful within themselves, but it's that over-involvement. It's that pursuit of it, that passion in which we go after these things that pull us away from God. You know, in my life, it's been things like sports or things like TV, things like watching movies and things like even being on a computer and being on the internet and just this hobbies that I enjoy, or just the pursuit of money and wanting to have more and more of it, wanting to work and work all the time. I think all of these things in my life, I know that they, you know, necessarily they're not wrong. They're not sinful within themselves, but the way I pursued them at times really reflects a lifestyle that I've had that's been meaningless, because after I've done those things, I still felt empty. I still didn't feel what I thought I was going to feel once I had them, once I achieved them, and once I did these things. And it's really what Solomon warns us against. And even when I find out that once I've done those things or have these things, there's often in which I begin to kind of think about my relationship with God and think, wow, look at how my pursuit for these things have really distanced me from God. I'm not thinking about God as much. I'm not praying to Him. I'm not spending time in His Word. I'm not, you know, being in the fellowship of believers to help encourage me to grow a deeper relationship with God. I'm not being led by the Spirit throughout the day. I'm being led by myself and my passion to pursue other things and to do other things. And I begin to see how I've drifted from God, from out of this meaningless living. And so God begins to challenge me and say, you know, you got to turn this around. You got to do something different that's going to help you to be more focused on me. And if it means that I need to stop doing things or to stop pursuing things, in order to grow deeper in relationship with God, I need to stop them. And they begin to be revealed to me. I believe God begins to challenge me through His Spirit and convict me that boy, often I allow meaningless living to hinder me from growing in my relationship with Him. So really, these are the first three of the six that I want to share with you that I believe are barriers and have been barriers in my life over the years of hindering me from growing spiritually. Procrastination, complacency, and meaningless living. And when these three things, when I'm involved with these three things, it begins to be the areas in which I'm hindering, I'm stopping myself from growing spiritually, because I'm so engrossed in these things, procrastination and complacency and meaningless living, that I'm not spending the time that I know I should be spending with God. I'm not growing the way that I know I should be growing in knowing Him more. I'm not growing more in the way in which He is making me more and more like Him on the inside, and how I think and feel and as well as how I talk and act. So I'm often challenged by these things, and I know there's ways in which God wants to change these things when I am involved in them, so that I can be more focused on Him, so that I can grow spiritually. So really, I just wanted to kind of share at least these first three with you today, and say, so what is it with you? Are one of these three things hindering you? Are you putting up these things as a barrier that's stopping you from growing spiritually? Are you right now procrastinating too much? Are you feeling complacent in your relationship with God? Are you living a meaningless life, just being engrossed and involved in things that really aren't helping you spiritually? And if so, it's really my prayer that you would stop right now and just ask God to reveal to you which one of these things, God, is hindering me from growing deeper in my relationship with you, that's hindering me from growing more and being more like you want me to be. And ask the Spirit to reveal those things in you, and as well as challenge you with what you need to be doing differently, so that you won't allow these things to be barriers. So that's really the ones that I want to share with you This time, the next time, I'll have three more barriers that I know that have been things that have hindered me in my relationship with God, just like these three have. And in the meantime, I will be praying that God will help me to not let these three particularly stop me from growing my relationship with God. And I hope that it will be the same for you. So until we get a chance to share again, let us be praying and asking God, hungering for God, more and more of Jesus in our lives, more and more of knowing him, more and more of being like him, that our relationship with him will be growing so strongly that as people see us living our lives, they just see God flowing through us. They see the words and the life of Jesus flowing through our lives because we know him so much and because we are allowing him to change us to be more and more like him, to be growing spiritually the way that he wants us to. So until the next time, may God bless us all with that. 'Cause we're serving his name, and we're sharing his name. Yeah, yeah. God gave his only son to die, so we offer him all our